Chapter 1. The Song of Songs, the most excellent of them all, which is Solomon's, 1 Kings 4:32. The background. Wealth is an insatiable master. The man who possesses it must need to feel the sting of its lash, as it urges him forth on the never-ending search for something more, something that will add to his own store and cause it to surpass that of others. For years, this exacting force had held King Solomon in its power and had given him no peace. He had built cities with vineyards, gardens, and orchards in which he planted all kinds of fruits. He had constructed unexcelled reservoirs and palaces. He had secured hosts of servants, men and women singers, rare musical instruments of all kinds, and great possessions of large and small animals, above all, that were in Jerusalem before him. He had filled his storehouses with gold and silver, and with the peculiar treasure of kings and provinces. Ecclesiastes 2:4-9. In response to the demands of his ambition, he had also turned his back upon the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 17:17, and sought far and near for those whose feminine charms graced the courts of other lands, bringing them to his harem. They were a collection, as he himself said, of virgins without number. Song of Solomon 6:8. Occasionally, he came from his own sumptuous apartments, where all vessels were of pure gold, 1 Kings 10:21-23, and selected a favorite from among these many, to return with him and keep him company. Happy and much to be envied, was the woman upon whom his favor fell. To win it, was the chief aspiration of each of his queens, concubines or maidens. The setting. There was an air of suppressed excitement throughout the great harem. Scores of beautiful women loitered here and there in the magnificent rooms, each in her a picture to which, not only nature, but also art had contributed with masterly painstaking touches. Underfoot were the floors of cedar, which had come from the forests of Lebanon, and beneath these were the great and costly foundation stones of the palace, cut from solid rock, stones of 15 and 12 feet. 1 Kings 7:1-11. The walls were hung with the richest of tapestries, the furnishings were of purple, the finest of linen, silver and gold, and even the ceiling bespoke the wealth of their royal owner, whose income was said to approach $20 million each year. 1 Kings 10:14. It was the anticipation of an impending visit from their Lord Solomon that had aroused the harem ladies from their lethargy upon this particular day. In each heart, there burned the hope that the hour of her triumph had come. The narrative. The Daughters of Jerusalem. One young woman is frankly proclaiming her desire to be selected by the king, and the story begins. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth," she cried. Then realizing Solomon has arrived and has heard her speech, turning to him she said, "For your love is better than wine." Verse 3. And she continues, "The odor of your ointments is fragrant, your name is like perfume poured out, therefore do the maidens love you." Verse 4. But Solomon is obviously about to take his choice, and there is a chorus of voices crying, "Draw me," then as he selects one and is leaving the room, the others cried, "We will run after you." But the chosen one answers them, "The king brings me into his apartment." The other women simply replied, addressing Solomon, "We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will recall other occasion when we were favored with your love, more fragrant than wine. The upright are not offended at your choice, but sincerely love you." Verse 5. Suddenly, into the midst of these elegantly arrayed women, there was ushered a sunburned country girl, the Shulamite. For a new face to appear in the harem was no novelty, but usually it was that of a foreign princess or a person accustomed to the luxury of palaces. This, however, was a maiden of humble origin from Shiloh, a place nearby. She was conscious at once of the contrast between her own appearance and that of those around her, and with downcast eyes she said, "The Shulamite, I am black. The Daughters of Jerusalem. But you are lovely and pleasant," the ladies assured her. The Shulamite, "O Daughters of Jerusalem, I am as dark as the ugly tents of the Bedouin tribe of Kedar." The Daughters of Jerusalem, "Oh no," they insisted, "you are more like the beautiful curtains of Solomon." Verse 6. But the embarrassed Shulamite was not susceptible to their flattery. the Shulamite. Please do not look at me, she said, for I am Swathi. I have worked out in the sun, and it has left its mark upon me. My stepbrothers were angry with me, and they made me keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard, my complexion, have I not kept. Her dark skin soon ceased to be a source of annoyance to the captive maiden, for all skills of the apothecary were put at her disposal to improve it, Esther 2:9-12, and her new silken robes with their elaborate embellishments of beaded jewels and precious metals were such as gladdened the hearts of the princesses and queens. But the thoughts of the Shulamite were not held by dainty garments, rare perfumes and priceless gems, for out on the Lebanon hills herding his flocks was the one object of her longing, for him her heart craved. No ordinary man of the sheepfolds was he, but one so picturesque, so noble, so winsome, and with a heart so true, that nothing which earth's richest, wisest, most honored sovereign could offer, could ever tempt her for a moment to forfeit her joy in him, the shepherd. Since her childhood he had loved her, and one day under the apple tree, which stood beside her mother's cottage, they had acknowledged their love and pledged their truth. Song of Solomon 8:5. Other men, even the king in all his splendor, seemed common beside him, and the possession of material things were as nothing in comparison to her rapture in the consciousness of his love. The Shulamite was anxious to make apparent to Solomon the strength of her affection for the matchless shepherd, for she must extricate herself from the royal net that she might marry her rustic lover, and he takes her to their home. Song of Solomon 1:16-17. As a number of the harem ladies gathered around her, she began her campaign for freedom. Verse 7. Addressing her distant shepherd, she said, "The Shulamite, tell me, you whom my soul loves, where you pasture your flocks, where you make it lie down at noon, for why should I, as I think of you, be as a veiled one, straying beside the flocks of your companions?" Psalm 23:1-2. Verse 8. But the Shulamite was getting no sympathy from Solomon's loyal wives, the daughters of Jerusalem. One of them said, "If you do not know where your lover is, O thou fairest among women, run along, follow the tracks of the flock, and amuse yourself by pasturing your kids beside the shepherd's tents." Verse 9. Before long, Solomon came to inspect his new acquisition. Solomon. Verse 9-11. "O my love," he said as he saw her, "you remind me of my favorite mare in my Pharaoh chariot spans. Your cheeks are comely with ornaments, your neck with strings of jewels. We will make you chains and ornaments of gold, studded with silver." Footnote: does my spirit crave for the divine shepherd, even in the presence of the best that the world can offer me? Verse 12. The vineyard girl, however, had not forgotten the task she had set herself, and as soon as Solomon, who was seated, gave her an opportunity to speak, she made use of it. "Whilst the king sits at his table," she said, "the Shulamite, my spikenard, my absent lover, send forth his fragrance over me." Verse 13. "My beloved shepherd is to me a cluster of henna flowers in the vineyard of En-Gedi, famed for its fragrant shrubs." The king ignored the girl's speech and continued his suit. "Solomon, behold, you are beautiful, my love, behold, you are beautiful, you have dove's eyes." Verse 16. But the determined girl was quite capable of ignoring speeches, as was Solomon, as if she had not been interrupted. She seized upon his own words, and addressing them to her absent lover, she cried, "The Shulamite, behold, you are beautiful, my beloved shepherd, yes, delightful. The home which you are preparing for us appeals to me more than any other. Our arbor and couch are green and leafy." Verse 17. "The beams of our house are cedars, and our rafters and panels are cypresses and pines."